Blog Talk Radio.
Screw it.
My man, come on!
Gary Carter, Hall of Famer and former Mets legend.
2.5 million people that were on Broadway cheering for us and celebrating along with us. That's something that was one of the most exhilarating moments in my life, in my career.
Former Mets pitcher, World Series champion Gary Gentry.
You don't think about the World Series, you're there. As long as we're here, we might as well win, right?
Jerry Kuzman.
And you watch 2-3 years down the line, everybody's pitching that way. It doesn't make it right.
Nolan Ryan.
When you get traded, I think it's at times it's disappointing that you feel like mainly the organization that you came up with and you really feel a commitment and ownership to them, you probably get your feelings hurt a little.
Chris Benson.
I was a big student of the game and studied hitters and video.
We're joined by Hall of Fame pitcher Phil Niekro. Charlie Huff joining us. Rick Peterson joins us. I just want to act like a big market team in New York City. See, I don't need a $140 million payroll just to say we have it. I'm Matt Faz. This morning I'm joined by Dave Singer.
What are your toughest buddies of last night? Because I'm in D.C., I get the Nationals broadcast, and they were raving about Chris Diaz hitting.
No. Gene Anthony.
When he had Wheeler the first game, 114 pitches, freaked me out. I don't know if Dusty Baker called him and said, hey, you want to ruin your pitching staff? Because I got a great plan. We had Fryer and Wood, and I virtually just killed them. Stephen Keen from Crane Pool Society.
Come on, we're not, I know the ownership thinks we're idiots. Now you're going to think we're idiots, and then you want to know what people can't stand.
Nick Kalidas. What I want them to do is clear the whole outfield out. Just let it be, just be Duda. I want to see Duda in the center, but like ultra center, where he's just playing all three positions, and let him lead off. I want to see as much Duda as I possibly can.
Making it easy.
I wish Qualcomm could make it easy this time, but it isn't. It does not make it easy right now. It is Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, right after game 2 of the NLDS. I'm joined by my esteemed colleague, Mr. Gene Anthony, and also Dave Singer's kind of pop on in a bit. We also might get an appearance from Matt Cerrone a little bit later. It's possible. But basically, there's a little venting that has to get done. And it's going to be a half an hour show today. But it's going to be one where you want to cover the kids' ears, because I think there's going to be some man-talking happening here. All right. Well, Gene, right off the bat, have you ever seen anything on a Major League Baseball field that maybe disturbed your feeling that the game has integrity more than what you saw yesterday between Utley and the umpire's decision afterward?
I didn't see the game. What are you referring to?
I know, there was some game yesterday. I know Matt Harvey texted on the way there that he was running late, but he heard some stuff was happening on the radio. And you know.
You know, unfortunately, what this reminded me of, and it was like life isn't fair, and it reminds me of the Piazza Clemens thing, where how does something like that happen on such a big stage, and your hands are tied? So we were talking about this before, like why didn't we just plunk a guy really bad, or why didn't we have a David Wright start a fist fight? Because now you get guys suspended for the playoffs, you know, and it's absurd. It is. The reaction from Major League Baseball, the players, former players, current players, that's where the real interest lies here, because you can see that people, even if you want to say, look, I believe in the old school way of playing the game, that was dirty. That was beyond dirty. And, you know, it doesn't excuse that it was Utley and that's the way he plays, because if we had any guy on our team doing that, we would at least try to acknowledge that, you know what, that was a shitty way to do business.
Well, you know what, aside from the fact that it's a dirty play, and Dave just joined us, because I'm going to loop him in here in a second here, aside from the fact that it was a dirty play, forget about that for a minute, there's precedent along the history of Major League Baseball of managers using obscure rules, let's say, in the rule book, for their own benefit to take advantage of things. I mean, one example I've been making on Twitter lately has been Billy Martin and the Pintar incident. I mean, George Brett did something that every player was doing. You know, he used a little more pine tar on his bat to try to get a little bit of an edge. So it was done by tons of hitters, but he waited until a moment. He got a brainstorm one night that, wait, you know what, I could probably use this rule at some point. And he had that in his back pocket, and he called it, and they not only reversed the call, but they replayed the game from that point on. So it's been, I mean, this has been done time and time again. So Utley clearly violated the three different rules. And if you don't like one, you go to the next one. And the eye test, the fact of, you look at the play and you know, regardless of the technicalities behind every rule, and look, any, almost like the U.S. Constitution or the Bible or anything else, you can read something and interpret it any way you want. But the reality is, if you've watched baseball through your life, the guy was out. He didn't touch the base. The very fundamental piece of baseball, you touch them all. You know, you touch the effing base to get an out. He wasn't there. So whether you call him out or whether you call him and the batter out, the least true result of that scenario is him being artificially placed on second base. It just doesn't make any sense. So, you know, you'd think if this was going to go along the lines of what's happened previously in baseball, they would restart the game honestly, if you want to do it fair, at the top of the eighth inning with the Mets coming up with a one-run lead. At the very least, runners on first and third or whatever it might be with him off on second base and two outs. The fact that not only are they not doing it, but the team didn't protest it. Collins never said anything. And as angry as Sandy Alderson was, he never said anything publicly. And, you know, Joe Torre,
that might be through the appeal. They might be doing something through appeal. But you know what?
They got to be public, man. Yeah, go on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know what? As much as I agree with you 100%, And the more disturbing thing, if you talk to Cardinal fans, they'll always go back to the Dinkinger missed call at first base that cost them the World Series.
Right.
Jim Joyce and Galarraga in the perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
That was before replay. We watched it on replay, and they still came up with this, he should be safe. The part that's a little disturbing, though, the perspective part is this, and nobody really wants to admit this, but you know what? For everybody that's out there that's a baseball fan, this is like the Bartman play where there was an error after the Bartman play. There were opportunities. The Dodgers still got the hit afterwards. The game would have been tied, or if he would have been called out on the double play, it would have been a one-run game. But they still gave up hits after that, and that sucks. But, you know, that could have been just a tie game. It could have been a tie game from then on. You lost an out, but they still gave up hits. You know,
well, we lost two outs. The inning should have been over completely.
Yeah.
But
being
said, though, I mean, part of the whole thought process is also the team's reaction, be it giving up some stuff afterward, but also after the game, not protesting this. I mean, Terry Collins wasn't livid. Whether he was mad, he wasn't. It's almost like they were all playing on the same team for MLB and kind of going, well, listen, we're fuming, but we're going to do it behind closed doors, almost like as if MLB as an organization was a locker room and you had to protect the media from finding out about stuff. I mean, get mad, for God's sake.
I think it's like a fight at a wedding. Yeah, it's like a fight at a wedding. You don't want to have a fight at a wedding. I mean, I think what they're trying to do is, instead of going irrational and bananas and possibly jeopardizing the playoff, you know, winning the playoffs, they're going to just kind of freeze for a second. And the most animated person was Kelly. He was pissed. You know, his post game was the best, and now I see why they like his leadership, because he looked like he was ready to go beat the shit out of somebody.
But where's everybody else, though, man? Where's everybody else? I mean, David Wright, I know he said some stuff, but even Collins saying, well, the umpires, you know, they got it right, or something like that. He said something that infuriated the hell out of me. But, you know, where is the fire here? Where is the challenge? They're not playing today. Let them resume the damn game. It's wrong.
I think we might have to assess this after a couple of days. You might have to assess their response after a couple of days. Let's see what happens in New York. They don't want to set up anything where if they hit a guy, they're going to get thrown out right in the first inning. So,
but I don't even mean retaliation. MLB, they should play over. I mean, what I'm saying is I'm not even talking about the players. The front office should challenge the game. Because think about this. This is not a blown call by the umps. This is a judgment call. They brought somebody out of the dugout and planted him on second base. Meanwhile, the defense was given absolutely no opportunity to get an out. The defense was prevented. First you had Utley doing the Tanya Harding act, right? But then on top of it, the umpires created a diversion where there's no way the Mets could have gotten an out and under any circumstances. And Torrey, and trust me on this one, Torrey is not stupid. All right, Torrey is reasonable. You could see in his face, like he didn't even know what to, he couldn't wait to get the hell out of there because it made no sense.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, you haven't gotten a word in because I guess we're both hysterical here, but especially me. give me your take on this.
The whole thing was a travesty. I mean, you know, I don't mind a hard slide. I really, really don't. But clearly, you know, he didn't even attempt to touch the bag. He went out of the baseline, slid past second base to try to essentially tackle Tejada. So that in and of itself is bad enough. But you touch on the fact that the umpires then ruled him safe, he never touched the bag, and they stuck him on second base is a fucking joke. I would have been okay with the hard slide. Unfortunately, Tejada gets hurt, but Utley's out.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been an outcome that I think everybody would have been okay with, including Dodger fans, because I don't think any Dodger fan expected Utley to wind up on second base there. I mean, come on,
including Utley.
Baseball fans. Utley. I mean, give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Utley was surprised.
He didn't lay on the bag. He didn't say, I'm safe. He would have laid on the bag if he thought he was safe.
Mm-hmm. Right, because what they didn't do is they didn't give – they called him out. So, of course, the Mets didn't go over and tag him. Could they have? Yeah, but you know, I'm sure Tejada's there screaming and crying. So the fact that they brought him out and stuck him on second base is probably – I've been watching baseball, you guys, a long time. I don't recall ever seeing a worse call than that, a worse decision. Can you think of one in a worse decision than that one to bring a guy out of second base that never touched the bag and say you're safe on second base? What the hell?
Well, you have to assess it too. You have to assess it too, Dave. That the calls that we just talked about before was before cameras. You know, it was before instant replay, not before cameras, but instant replay. And now they had instant replay, and they still botched it. So yeah, it could be in postseason one of the worst calls you're ever going to see, because the Dinkinger call at the guy for the Cardinals. You know, that was a judgment call. He just blew the call. But this is ridiculous.
Do we know, and forgive me if you guys said it, ultimately whose final decision it was to put Utley on second base? I mean, is it New York? Was it the crew chief? Who ultimately said, you know what, here's exactly what we're going to do, and we're all going to stick with it?
There's some stuff online where they were trying to call out the person that made the call decision because they weren't releasing the name of the person that made the ultimate call. But if you really think about this, my concern is it wasn't even a judgment issue because the rule itself seems to have been bent to pull that off. Because if you listen to Torrey yesterday, the one piece that he was being questioned about that he couldn't really answer was they ruled him safe because the umpire called him out. He walked off the field, and since the play that resulted in him getting called out was ruled invalid, let's say, then the umpire can make whatever decision he wants about where the players end up, right? So in theory, the moment Utley is walking off the field, the play is no longer valid. The minute the umpire makes the out call, then the play is no – everything that happens after the out call is no good anymore, right? But they also then turn around and go, well, if the Mets tagged him on the way back to the dugout, it'd be fine. When he hit the dugout,
it's ridiculous.
The two
know what's ridiculous
each other.
About it. Yeah. And the funny thing is, if you're a hard news player, you're Ty Cobb, you know the game, you love the game, you forget to touch the base. So what was your aim? Was your aim to touch the base and knock him on his ass, or was it your aim just to knock him on his ass? And he didn't care that he didn't touch the base. It wasn't like he put his hand out and he just missed it. He was there to knock his block off. Then you take the out. You take the out. And you know, there's some basic rules in baseball, like you have to touch all the bases. You know, and putting him in the dugout and then putting him – I think it was Angel Hernandez that probably – he was the one that ruled this one.
I'm blaming Beltran for this whole thing.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm blaming Beltran, actually. That's
Joey.
The funny thing about it is, in this season, you knew Tejada and Flores, something was going to happen. Like, there was this story part wasn't over, right? So who gets their leg broken but Tejada, and here comes Flores.
Well, we all know that this whole series is going to end on a Matt Reynolds home run. I mean, obviously that's where this is going, all right? And which is fine, you know. But the reality is that, look, I still don't think the Dodgers are going to win. I sincerely don't. I thought this was going to be a sweep in the beginning, and I still think it's legitimately a sweep because I don't count yesterday. I know they do, but to me, that, I'm sorry, they can say whatever the hell they want. That's not a legitimate game. That's not a rule. Like what planet are we living on here? They're saying that if they tagged the guy before he hit the dugout, he would have been out. But once he was called out, everything afterward that happened is invalid. Except if they tagged him, then it would be valid. What? Where in the rule book is that? Meanwhile, there are three rules, three separate ones you could look at and make an argument for any of them to call both guys out. It's like you have to be creative and think of some sort of wild loop around, almost like a straw man argument, to be able to find any reason to put that guy in second. The umpire didn't know the rules, for God's sake. How do you not play that game over again from the eighth inning? How? Like, why is it not even being questioned?
They're not going to play the game over.
But why? Why, though?
Well, they won't. They won't. They won't.
No, I know they won't. Obviously, they won't. But, like, they made – right before you came on, I made the example of the pine tar game. How come, you know, every hitter puts too much pine tar on their bat, let's say, at that point. But yet, you know, when the Yankees want to whip it out to erase a home run, they did it. I mean, like, so a lot of players slide dirty, all right? It violates a few rules. If the Mets wanted to pull that out of their butt last minute, why is that – they have an off day today. Like, why – are they not resuming this game? I understand that they're not, but why are they not?
But, Nick, because, you know, the magnitude and the fact that the call was as subjective as it was, they are not going to go back and say, you know what, of course it was subjective. They're not going to go back and say,
how subjective? It violated it. There's no rule that allows them to arbitrarily put a guy in second base. It's just, the rule that they gave – it doesn't make sense. The way they explained it, two elements contradict each other. So, like, there are three rules that are defined. You can watch happening that all of them are violated. So I don't understand how they could not. I completely understand that they're not going to, but I just don't understand why this is not even a discussion. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I think
it's a little pressure.
It's a discussion. But it's just not going to happen. Now, as I was watching this last night, as soon as they put Elvie on second base, I'm like, if I'm Terry Collins, I'm pulling my team off the field. I would have pulled the entire team off the field, and I would have said, Torrey, you come down and explain it, because we'll either take a loss, or we're going to figure this shit out, because in what earth is Utley on second base? I would have pulled my team off the field. But,
that,
you know, Terry
that.
Went out there, he got an explanation, he kind of bumblefucked it around, he was a little bit upset. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the moment, we thought we had a baseball game going, but you see how it turned out. But I definitely.
Yeah, it's like a whistle blowing in football. Like, the whistle blows, that's it, right? So you can't say, well, you should have kept going because, you know, after the whistle, anything can happen. If you're going to call him out and he's walking off the field out, why would a player ever go over? Like, you see now, on every slide into second base, they hold the tag on him now. They used to do it, you know, if they thought the guy came off. Now, because of instant replay, they keep the tag on them the entire time. So now that means every person that you call out, you should go over and tag them just to make sure that they don't bring them back on the field. So it was enough for him to be called out, for him to know to get off the field, but the Mets should have had more brains, I guess, and tagged the guy out after he was called out. It makes no sense at all.
But you can take the rule and bend it. You can bend it the other way and go, well, I know you tagged him after he was called out, but we erased everything in the play after the umpire called him out, so the tag is invalid. You could flip that around. Like, in other words, there's no scenario where the Mets possibly could have gotten that guy out. You know, because you could have twisted that rule any way you needed to put him back on second base. The only way he's tagged out, honestly, is if before the umpire makes the call, somehow or another, even though the umpire called him out, like somehow or another that glove got on him. And meanwhile, you know, like the spirit of the rule, for whatever it's worth, like Tejada was hugging the man practically with that ball in his hand, you know. So I just don't – the reality is I think you got to keep integrity attached to these games. And it's bad enough that, you know, we went from being a sport that banned Pete Rose to one that actually promotes sports betting. You know, and, you know, God knows if there are MLB players that are playing DraftKings and stuff on a regular basis, and drug commercials, and the fact that the games are on 1 o'clock in the morning and there's no generation of kids that are watching this. I mean, forget about all of that seediness. Now you're adding the element of the ex-Dodger manager and Major League Baseball and are the GM of the Mets that also used to work for MLB. And, you know, all this group getting together, and there's an injustice. There's something that just from the eye test, it's wrong. You know, even Dodger fans on these Dodger boards, they're talking about whether the slide was rough or not. But everybody kind of is like snickering, like, well, you know what, whatever, we get the win. But no, I don't think there's a damn person on earth that thinks that guy was supposed to be safe, including him. And yet they're not fixing it. I just, to me, that,
well,
you know, we're a step away from professional wrestling at that point.
Well, they've built in, you know, all these mechanisms for the catcher who's fully armed not to get trucked at home plate. And so we'll see the benefit of this maybe in some revised rule, but we're not going to reap the benefit of it in this game. And so, you know, again, coming across the bag like that and his full intention. And we got burned in Philadelphia, Nick. We were talking about this before. In a game-ending play that wasn't even close to being this rough that they called. And with the camera, how do you not only just call him out, but it's an ending double play? That is, and then we still will be saying it sucked that he broke his leg, but, you know, we wouldn't have dreamed this would have been the outcome. I was in more of shock. Maybe that's what happened to Terry, because if you're watching the game, you were mad, but you didn't know what you were mad at. When he came back on the field, you were like, I was just mad. Like, I couldn't articulate how mad I was at what specific point. And then now, as you think about it, you say, well, this, you break it up into these three categories, this is the big problem. But at the time, maybe that's what Terry was doing. Like, holy shit, what am I going to do now, you know?
Well, that's why you can make an argument he shouldn't be manager of this team. I mean, like, that's a playoff manager is a leader. It's a general. You know, you know what to do. You know, Dave, I'm buying what you said before. I would have pulled the damn team right off the field and taken the loss. If you're going to take the loss anyway, you know what? Prove a point. You know, just say, listen, this is wrong. You know, it's two outs. It should be the eighth inning. If you're going to cheat and stick a guy on second base for whatever reason you'd like, then why are we exerting energy? Why are we risking getting hurt playing the rest of this game if the game is irrelevant? If they're just going to kind of make up rules as they go and stick you know, people wherever they feel like. It just doesn't – to me, I like that a lot better. I think it's much more honorable. It makes a much bigger statement, I think, than anything else. At least play the game under protest. At least do that.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to – excuse me, kind of Monday morning quarterback this thing. I absolutely would have pulled my team off the field. I absolutely would have played it under protest. I absolutely would have gotten on the phone with Joe Torre if I'm Terry. He had all the rights to do any of those things. Now, the umpire could have said, you know, whatever, batter take your base or do whatever. But it doesn't matter. You had to have some kind of grandstanding moment, some kind of line in the sand drawn. And Terry, look, I mean, we all appreciate what Terry did this year, although it's I still don't think he's a great manager. But his reaction was as mild and milquetoast as I've ever seen. This was a guy that just kind of acquiesced to the situation, that didn't have the wherewithal to truly think through it, and to say, let's walk through these options and articulate them to me in a manner that makes any sense at all. He kind of just took it. I mean, he was pissed. You could see he was upset. But he was upset because he knew instinctively something was wrong. But I don't think he was able to articulate and take some kind of action that would have at least let Major League Baseball think twice. And of course, he played under protest. And they may have. I haven't heard, but I don't think they protested. So
no,
just
I agree.
Just a shitty deal.
I think if it was during the year, Dave, it might have been handled a little bit different. And I think
it was less important, if you can imagine that.
No,
would have done better.
Well,
it's true.
And I'm no fan of Terry. I mean, I'm no big supporter of Terry. And like you said, something has happened. They look at him as some sort of figure, just like we make fun of Dan Worthen. But when he was sick, half the pitching staff looked like they were going to start crying because they love this guy so much. I don't get it. I don't get what he does, but he does something. But then you have a bench coach. You have base coaches that have been around the game. Somebody could have worked with you know, it's the whole team just stopped thinking? Is that what happened? I think Terry's trying to keep everybody composed. It reminds me of the Piazza situation with Clemens, where now you're in a position where if you do anything ex post facto, you're going to get penalized. And this could clearly blow up. It does set some great drama, man, for Game 3. You couldn't have a better situation with Harvey on the mound. If this was Matt's start, it would be very different. But this is Harvey's start. It's in New York.
Who's going to lead off? Who's going to lead off on Monday? For
like
the Dodgers?
Oh, for them. You know what? Does it matter? I mean, honestly, I don't even like. I'm not looking forward to that. I think it's not a great thing.
I put one right between his eyes. I'm literally, if I'm Harvey, I'm going right.
Well, if
head.
You're
going
to do that, then what you do is you have DeGrom pitch the first inning, and you tell him to nail somebody, get thrown out of the game, and you have Harvey in the bullpen. And you just do it. You just put him right. Or you have somebody, because you can't put Nice, because if you drill him between the eyes, it might not even bounce off of him. So, but you know what? That makes us look like the dirty team. It's one of those things where if you were going to fight, you should have done it then.
Right. I agree with you.
Wright
so should have
went after somebody. They should have grabbed Chase. As he was rounding second, going to third, they should have tripped him. They should have done something to make a statement. But it's almost too late now. It is too late.
You're right.
Usually it's the catcher. You know, the catcher is the kind of the fiery red-ass guy. I think Laduca would have been up in his grill. You know, Darno, I love him, but he's kind of a California laid-back dude. And,
I don't want him
man,
to
do
anywhere
holy
to fight.
Shit.
Yeah, he break his hand.
Wrecker or Kadire or somebody, you know, Wrecker, had he been here? Somebody.
Uribe.
Uribe
would have been the one.
Uribe would have done Wright. It. David Wright was out on the field, you know, next to him yelling at the dugout. You know, Wright looked like he was going to explode, honestly. And this is what's bothering me here. There's this kind of walking on eggshells feeling going on there where, look, I get that there's so many things that erupt that Collins is kind of in this – damage control or managing a situation mode constantly, but it's almost as though they're in this mode for so long that they don't know when it's time to let it go. You know, the fact that Collins looked like he was boiling over at the end of the game, but he didn't say anything. I mean, you're not protecting your locker room. What are you protecting, MLB now? Screw that. You know what? Show a little fire. You fight, man. This is your only shot to be in the playoffs, most likely. You know what I mean? Like, this is it. You've worked your whole career for this. Why are you taking this like a little, you know what? Why are you taking it? This is where Alderson's need for a middle manager in a manager position is biting him in the butt, because there's no field
dudes, what do you think Backman, what do you think Wally Backman would have done?
He would have been kicked out of MLB, man.
How
did Terry not even get kicked out of the game? I mean, it's just incredible to me that he just didn't have the biggest connection. Billy Martin throwing bases, Whitey Herzog spitting on people, Earl Weaver just up in someone's grill. I mean, if any situation called for that, it was there, because there was just something so incredibly wrong with that whole sequence of events and the final outcome. What are you hanging around for? What are you acquiescing to? I mean, that's your moment in the sun, dude. Frickin' explode. Go crazy. Throw a base. Throw a bag of balls. Pull your team off the field. Do something. But just don't take it like a puss. I was very disappointed.
Well, I think for him, he's, again, it's like being on a boat that's going to sink and the captain's going frantic. You know, like, I think he's trying to hold these guys together. It's their first time to the playoffs. I don't care about David Wright going there once. Most of these guys, it's the first time. It's his first time. He's trying to – I think he's really trying to keep his composure, but you're right. But it also, to be fair, it isn't like somebody hit one of our guys with a pitch. You've never seen anything like this. So this is not like, wow, you should have been prepared for this. Nobody even watching the game – is prepared for what happened. That is, I've never seen that before. Like,
yeah,
I've never seen the chain of events.
We're all watching it, including tons of MLB players that are all over Twitter, and everybody instinctively at the same time had the exact same response. The first response was no, no, there's something wrong here. Stop everything, you know. And so, yes, you know, you can make an argument that, well, this is armchair quarterbacking in a way where we get to see things and think about it. Even though that's true, that we got to consider it a little bit more over time, my opinion was exactly the same 2 seconds after it happened. And I refuse to believe that I have some sort of original opinion on this, where Major League Baseball professional people that are in the moment don't have the same thought. I mean, there's no shot. I mean, the fact that, you know, we saw what's-his-face after the game, God, his name is slipping me, the one that was from Atlanta that came over here. I don't know why.
Kelly Johnson.
Yeah, Kelly, yeah, screaming and yelling about, like, exactly what we all saw. Did he's the only one that saw that? Everybody saw that in there. So, you know, the fact that we don't have a field general, somebody like you know,
yeah.
Earl Weaver or whatever, somebody to pull everybody off the field. I love that concept. Because you know, the game is
I would have loved Kelly Johnson. I would have loved Kelly Johnson, who's a second baseman and definitely
mm-hmm.
a contemporary of Chase.
Mm-hmm.
For him to run in a dugout and just freaking go start slugging with him. Like,
yeah.
Dude, get the fuck off the field, man. You going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. You know,
you need a guy
whose back is turned to you, clearly only intending to injure. And we're not going to stand for it. That's not how this game is meant to be played. And Kelly Johnson could have been a guy that did the right thing in the moment. But nobody reacted in the moment. That's the kind of thing that bothers me. Ex post facto, everybody's all over it. But in the moment, where was that leadership? It was lacking.
There's another component, though, man. And again, you know, we're looking at it on television. We're seeing the angles over and over. They get it one time. They weren't in the clubhouse looking at they know it was a dirty slide. They know it was a rough baseball slide. And, you know, we're just sitting there. Like when you go to a game, you don't get as much. You look up and you mm-hmm. say, wow, this guy does have three hits today. When you're at home watching the game, this guy's got three hits. This guy's got two hits.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing something different. So it looks like just a really rough play at second base. And, you know, when you're watching it at home, it's way worse because you're getting angle after angle after angle where there's no way he was going to touch that base.
But
he was going to knock his block off.
Gene, no matter what angle you look at it from, the two things you know for sure is you know that he wasn't aiming at the base. He was aiming at Tejada. The intent was not to touch the base. He was trying to make an out to break up the double play. He wasn't even trying to be safe there. So
we're seeing it over and over and over on the field. You don't see how late he slid. You just see him upending Tejada.
They watched it.
Huh?
Yeah. So when they saw it on the field, they called it right. When they reviewed it. And they saw it, and it was obvious what had happened. Then they reversed it. They reversed it to a rule that didn't even exist. It doesn't.
Exactly.
There's almost no way to touch this. They didn't know the rule. That's really what's going on here. And you know, people in the dugout knew the rule. You knew that there was some. You had to react. You had to, man. Somebody. And what about like if you really want to go out of the box, right? Somebody like a Matt Harvey that needs to restore his reputation. I'm not saying that he should go and fight with Utley on the field. You know, I'm not saying he should get suspended, but you know what? If you want to take it back to 73, because they kept showing that fight with Bud Harrelson over and over again, right? When there was an issue, forget about the fight going on, but when they had the argument at home plate, you know, you saw all the veterans, it wasn't just Yogi Berra, all the veterans jumping out of the dugout, screaming and yelling at the ump. You know, you could have had somebody from that team needed to start getting emotional and invested in it. You know, we didn't see Collins react. We didn't see anybody react. David Wright wasn't an umpire's face. You know what I mean? Any of the bench players, any of those pitchers, if they got thrown out of the game, as long as they didn't touch anybody, they're not going to get suspended. Any of them could have reacted. Syndergaard could have reacted. Anybody. No one did anything. And that neutering, that passiveness that clearly MLB is forcing on these teams, I think that's what's worrying me about the next game, because you're talking about, well, I can't wait to get them back here because guy knows what's going to happen. You know what? I don't know if I want Harvey that revved up. I mean, he's shown
well,
to
he's
be immature.
Well, he's
going to
have to. I mean,
yeah, he's immature,
other part
though.
Of it,
what
though,
is he
going
to do that's positive?
The other part of it is it's a tie game. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
if it was a lopsided game, or, you know, if there was a little bit more cushion, they're still trying to win this game. And it goes back to my
mm-hmm.
other point. We're really pissed right now because of the hits that were given up after that, and they took the big lead.
Right.
If they walk
mm-hmm.
off the field and it's 2-2, we just keep playing. You know, so looking at the totality now, you say, well, geez, that was the turning point in the game, and it sure was, but they still could have won the game. You know, knocking Tejada
mm-hmm.
out, breaking his leg, you know, if Reed
mm-hmm.
comes in and does his job, we're talking about an unfortunate incident and not a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Hey,
you
dude,
know,
I got to jump off, but yeah, I'm with you, and hopefully I think the best outcome at this point is
mm-hmm.
going to be that the Mets win with Harvey on the mound. Think about it objectively, right?
Mm-hmm.
We took home field advantage away. from the Dodgers. We beat one of the two best pitchers in baseball, and we faced them both. And we got Matt Harvey on the mound. So as pissed as
and
I am.
And who hit the ball better last
Harvey
night?
Harvey goes out and Harvey goes and spins a gem, you know, and throws, you know, 7 1/3 of shutout baseball. The Mets can get a little offense because we win this game. You know, I like our chances, you know, beating, you know, Kershaw or Greinke, you know, in the decider. So it sucks, but, you know, we're still in a good spot.
You know what, Dave, everything you said was correct. There's only one mistake you made. We beat two of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, man. I hear you. All right, gentlemen. Talk to you guys
later. No problem, Dave. Yeah, Gene, we should close up shop here because I know we talked about a half an hour. Do you have any last things to vent about here?
Well, you know, turn it to a positive side. You know, if you told me last week that they're going to split in Los Angeles, are you okay with that, knowing what they were going up against? And I think that they hit Greinke better than we hit Greinke better than the Dodgers hit Syndergaard.
So did I.
You know, I mean, we smoked the ball. The kid pitched good, and this is what we thought was going to happen. I'm wondering in a game four if you don't consider DeGrom instead of Mats and just put the nail in the coffin and maybe have Mats in the pen ready in case something goes with DeGrom. I know that they're nervous because he threw 100-something pitches.
I wouldn't, honestly, because, you know, DeGrom is so much better with the rest. And, you know, you need DeGrom to go 8 innings anyway. You know, if he's going to beat Kershaw, who's going to be on a mission on game 5, I think you need to give this guy every chance you have. It's almost like trying to go into the most important work day of your life with 3 hours sleep. You know,
well,
I wouldn't
be surprised to see Kershaw in game 4. So that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they hit the
– Mats is great.
You know.
I mean, honestly, Mats is cool, man. I had a problem with Cologne being in that game yesterday. I almost had a fit. The only reason why I'm not screaming about that is that only lasted about 2 seconds until all this nonsense. But that was – even if he's getting tired and losing location, to me, you never replace somebody throwing 99 with Bartolo Cologne. It's like that's overthinking the game, like – it's just way overthinking things, but regardless, I don't think you change the game plan that much. And that's just my 2 cents. Cause honestly, if we split out here and forget everything that happened with what you just said, like, would you be happy with it? If you said, well, listen, if we split, would you start Mats in game 4? You'd think, you know, yeah, sure. Why not? Cause we have DeGrom in 5. We were talking about DeGrom starting if we lost both, and it was a desperate situation or something.
Right.
But, you know, at this point, it is technically 1-1, you know, and look, my only concern is this, the emasculating piece of it and the fact that Harvey is immature and, you know, he doesn't need to get more pumped up. You know, the organic nature of the game, I think, is enough for Harvey. And sometimes, you know, he's been proven to make bad judgment calls even with time to think about things. So, he's not the one I'd want on the mound. I'd want DeGrom on the mound for a game like this, who's somebody that's more even keel, that's going to just be like that, be that field general, just take everything under control and end this. But, you know, Harvey's combustible, so entertainment-wise might be fun, but...
Okay. Yeah, but I haven't seen Harvey combust on the field, is what I'm saying. So I think
he did twice
on
though.
The field.
I mean, like, remember the Yankee game, man. He lost his composure and he just lost his stuff.
Well, he's going to have a day to think about it. It's not going to be he's not playing today, so he's going to have time to think about it. I'm sure they're going to sit down with him. But I like him in Game 3, regardless of fight, no fight, broken leg or not.
Sure.
We're in a much better situation than they are, and I hope that they – that's why I would go for the jugular if they win Game 3 with Game 4, not let it go back to Los Angeles. But it's making for a good story, I'll tell you that.
And this
year, whenever they've had some big blow-up on the Mets, you know, they tend to respond. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to lose this. That's not even – I mean, honestly, I think we're going to win the next two. It'll be done, and I don't think it's going to be because of anger over this. I think it's just going to be because we're proven we're better. We're much better than the Dodgers. I mean, there's just nothing to say about it. I mean, the only way that they could compete with us was to literally break a leg and have the umpires cheat. There's no other. They couldn't compete with us otherwise. We beat both of their top guys easily. I mean,
but we did
good
beat
luck,
the top.
Good
we,
luck.
We played well against the second guy, but again, we did not beat him. I mean,
oh, we
did, because
man,
one,
I don't. The game ended. The game ended to me. They basically stopped the game in the seventh inning with the Mets having a one run lead. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and that's an official game. It's like a rainout. I realize it's different in the books, but like I know what I saw. I saw two outs, and then I saw a bunch of nonsense afterward. And so yeah, they did give it up. But think about it. Bartolo Colon and John Neese gave it up, and what's his face, Addison Reed. All right, and Adrian Gonzalez honestly should have been plunked. He shouldn't have been given a pitch to hit. He should have been getting a pitch in the helmet. But regardless of all of that, I'm treating it in my brain like it's a rainout because I know what I saw. I saw that's true. I saw two effing outs and a one run lead.
Yeah, but
they didn't want to. There's no baseball.
Hey, I'm as mad as you are. As mad as you are. But if we had a one run lead in the seventh and you said this game is over, I say no. There's two more innings to play. So you still. I'm pissed off about it, but it is.
They didn't play those innings. I'm sorry, they didn't play those innings, man. I'm sorry.
They did. They did. I
they
saw
didn't.
It in the box score. No, I'm almost certain
that
they did.
Yes.
I have the information, I think. But
yeah,
I'll
send
you the link.
I saw them play the exhibition, too, but it was an exhibition. Because I saw two outs. I didn't see the ending of the real game. I saw the ending of the fantasy game.
Okay.
You know, the fantasy, maybe it was a DraftKings thing, and they needed somebody that involved needed Utley to have that base so they could win a little bit more money. Maybe that's what it is, or maybe somebody's Viagra didn't get delivered on time, you know. Yeah, who knows?
Well, it's interesting they said that he reached out to David Wright via text. So I'd love to know what this text was about, and I want to see how the captain responds to this. If it's he gets the third and Dave gives him a big hug and says everything's okay, that's when I'll lose my mind.
I just can't. This is, you know, so many of us grew up with the 80s team. You know, we can end it over here. Like, we all grew up with this team that has fight, and, you know, especially our generation, man. We battle every 5 seconds. I mean, that's our nature. And, you know, this passiveness, oh, my God, it kills me. I'd be able to swallow this so much better if the team and the front office and Alderson were – I know they're as angry as we are – if they were vocal. If they came, if they pulled the team off the field and took the loss, I would have so much respect for it. I'd be right there.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line because the fighting and the determination and the living at the high Las Vegas odds that the Mets of 86 played cost them. They should have won more. They should have been in the World Series more. They did it in the 1 year, and they barely did it. I mean, it was – you know, so maybe the long haul, this is a better approach of sorts. And the game has changed. I mean, it really has. And this team, if you look at the history of baseball, it's built around pitching, and the pitching is not letting us down. And that's great news. And they're not going anywhere. Even better news.
You know what, though, man? You can look at, like, the Braves as a great example of a team that had no guts. So the pitching was so overwhelming they just couldn't lose a division, but they couldn't win anything because they didn't have that anger. You know, every pitcher was great, was like a nice guy. Everybody was kind of like, oh, golly gee whiz, and there was passiveness with the Braves. There was. The only thing is that we had more passiveness, you know. And
right.
But those teams are so talented and they couldn't make it. And our 80s team, I mean, look. First of all, the reality is if there was a wild card, we would have had more titles because a lot of these teams won 98 games and didn't make the playoffs. That's unheard of today, you know. So that's kind of glossed over whenever anyone thinks of the 80s. So we won two divisions, and we were basically at the World Series in 88. We just, you know, there was a bad pitch. Somebody got burned, and then the team was disassembled when it still could have continued to be good. Once Hernandez and Carter got old, we never replaced them with quality players. We replaced them with basically locker room poison. You know, whoever they picked was a dirty guy, you know, and got rid of Mitchell and stuff like that. So they made mistakes. If you can think of if the 86 team, the one that had the most fight out of that whole group, if that was retained, if they didn't get rid of Mitchell and Knight, you know, who knows, 87, 88, that 88 thing might never have happened, you know? And
right.
Because if you think of it, like the later 80s teams were more troublemakers than they were fighters. 86 team was, they were more fighters, you know, gritty players, not just, you know, not there were no
yeah.
newspaper articles, and you know, it was done on the field, man. That's the thing. I miss that. I miss just a little bit of that. Just stick up for yourselves, you know.
Well, we'll see if they do. I mean, it's not over, and we'll see if game three they come out and they make a statement of sorts. I mean, something's going to happen. This is not going to hopefully be the Piazza thing where the bat gets thrown at him and, you know, you can't charge the mound now because you're going to get thrown out and you're going to cost good players. Good news from last night, Conforto swinging the bat, hits a home run. Yoenis is back. You know, I mean, those are tremendous – tremendous signs for me because, you know, Cespedes hasn't hit a home run since he was plunked by the Marlins. And so this was big, you know, and they're going to have
to fight. Oh, hell yeah. Dude, I thought
you know,
we were going to sweep in the beginning. I was ecstatic leading up to that inning yesterday. And honestly,
what inning?
I mean, look, leading I don't know. good question. Look, man, I think that I don't think we're going to lose. I absolutely don't believe that. And obviously, it's clear where this is leading. You know, Flores or Reynolds or one of these types is going to be a hero in the next game. And then people are going to say, oh, can you believe if Tejada didn't get hurt, then we would never put Flores in. This wouldn't happen.
You can see
the scenario. You know, it's just, you know, the passiveness gets me nuts. And, like, it doesn't matter.
They did,
however
they
this
did
goes,
show a little,
you know, it was just the wrong
afterwards.
Move anyway.
Well, they weren't all politically correct because you saw Murphy talk about it wasn't a slide. You saw Kelly Johnson. You saw Wright was even pissed. They didn't take the super high road. You can tell that they were pissed, but they're still trying to keep their composure. Nobody said, you know, he plays hard, and, you know, that's what happens when you play hard. They all basically pulled him out and said that was bullshit. And so,
well, yeah,
you know.
The thing is, though, that's not the big deal, and that's what I'm concerned about. Everyone's looking at Utley. The obvious thing. You know, well, the guy broke the guy's leg. Point a finger at him. But I didn't hear one person outside of, I think it was just one or two people talking about, I don't understand how that was an out. There was not one Met that said, you know what, the game was illegitimate. You know, like, I'm sorry. That it just was. You know, no one, the Pine Tar game is a direct, something direct that everyone can look at and go, well, here's an example of what is supposed to happen. And something out of the ordinary happened yesterday. And I understand, like, everyone kind of says the same thing. Well, you know they're not going to do that because it's the playoffs. All right, fine, but why? You know, why isn't it being addressed? You know, and why isn't anyone being made to make an excuse? Like, all right, well, give us the reason, even if it's convoluted, why we're not replaying this. But no one's asking the question. And that's, to me, that's the example of somebody being neutered. It's kind of like you're afraid to ask the question because for some reason something is negative is going to come from you even questioning this in public. Screw it, man. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, you fight.
Well, there's no precedent that shows that's the way to go. There's no, you know, pulling your team off the field would be a nice emotional reaction, saying that Major League Baseball screwed up and they're horrible. Mm-hmm. That's never worked anywhere. If you could tell me where
never
that's actually where, well, yeah, that's true. But this is not the time to try it. I mean, I think that something's going to be said. I mean, Alderson's stance, I'm hoping he's going to come back and say, look, this is what's wrong with that, and he's not going to. They might, you know, we might not have all the information. And you know, there's a part of you that wanted people to rant and rave and scream, and then there's another part of you that doesn't want Harvey on the mound in Game 3 because he might rant and rave and scream. So I think it's going to be fun. Game 3 is going to be awesome. I can't wait for it.
Well,
I'm going to watch
it. I mean, look. Harvey might even show up.
He's probably there now. They just get him a barracks, a couple of bunks. And they say, look, we're going to have you stay, like, right here, so you'll make it. All right, I have to go,
visual.
My friend.
Oh my God! I have this visual of, like, you know, the movie Trading Places when they have the giant gorilla in the cage. They're gonna have the Harvey in a cage on the way back to New York. Sorry, man.
Now
you're
there's
not going
two gorillas
anywhere.
In the cage.
oh man!
All right.
Entertainment wise, I'm looking forward to the next game. But from a baseball perspective, we're up 2-0 as far as I'm concerned. Everything else is legitimate. Otherwise. All right.
They'll just have to win four games in this one, but I get it.
Yeah. I don't believe in five outs in an inning, but what the hell? Take some Viagra, bet on some games, and relax, you know? And remember, Rose is the enemy. Oh, my God. All right. Well, listen, man. It's been fun, fun-ish. It's been at least calming. And,
let's go Mets.
I guess let's go Mets, exactly. For the Cult of Mets personalities and all our fine feathered friends, have a good time on game three, and hopefully we can sweep the next two and put this to bed. Good night, everybody.